I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics' viral tubing mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS. .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hi, I'm Chanti.
And I'm Lynx, and you're listening to Muses.
Enjoy the show.
Hello, and welcome to Muses, the podcast all about women in rock and roll. This week, we welcome Bailey Avery to the podcast.
Bailey Avery is a music writer from Houston, Texas. After spending 5 months on a feature writing team for a pop culture website and writing about various current celebrities, she eventually followed her passion for music journalism and joined Banded PR and Soft Sound Press 6 months later, which has been life-changing for her. She's written about bands such as Greta Van Fleet, Dirty Honey, and The Pretty Reckless.
We feel it's incredibly important to highlight young women in the music industry in all fields. And when Bailey reached out to us, we felt it was a great opportunity to do just that. Enjoy the show. Welcome, Bailey, to Muses. We're so happy to have you here.
Thank you so much. I'm stoked. I'm ecstatic. I've been looking forward to this.
I'm enjoying your accent already. I can hear like a little tinge of it. I love it so much. Anytime we have someone with an accent on, I feel like we're like, ooh, we get to listen.
Also, we've seen you, like we've interacted with you so much online and we've read your things that you've written, but I don't think I've heard you speak before. So this is awesome. Hi.
Finally face to face a little bit.
Yes.
It's the new COVID way.
Oh yeah.
Well, that's an easy way to just jump into our first question. Can you tell us about growing up in Houston, Texas, and how it inspired your musical upbringing?
Pretty much throughout my life, I've moved to different parts of Houston. Well, I mean, not throughout my life, I shouldn't say that. My first bit of memories is living in like a few different places around Houston, and then I moved to a little suburban area called Richmond, Texas when I was 6, and I've been living there ever since. Well, not right now because of the winter storm, our house suffered from some serious damage. So we're currently in a hotel.
Wow. And
yeah. So my first like few bits of memories was living in a townhouse with my parents. And then when my parents separated, I And I remember living in a couple apartments with my mom and didn't go into my dad's, not from time to time. But I guess, like, regarding, like, my musical, like, upbringing here, my mom, when I was around a year or two old, I discovered my first musical obsession. That was the Bee Gees, the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack.
Amazing.
Yeah. No, my mom played it, and little 1 or 2 year old me, I just fell in love right away. I loved it so much. I demanded everyone to play it around me 24/7. My cousin always tells me that she has memories of babysitting me and playing my dollhouse with me with that soundtrack playing and everything.
It's just like you strutting down the hallway in your diaper. Yeah. Like,
yes. And it's kind of funny when I think about that, because when I got, I think like around 4, this is another thing, like my mom always tells me, I used to hate most of the popular music that was on the radio that she would play. Like she said that I used to cry whenever she played Beyonce or stuff like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
And all about the disco.
Yes. But I did like some things. Like I realized, like, once I went back to the songs that I did like, it was some more rock, pop rock, pop punk oriented stuff, like Matchbox 20 and stuff like that. So that's pretty much like all there is to it, basically.
Yeah, but it seems like you've come around a little bit to some current things, because we have a mutual love of Harry Styles.
Yes,
he's
yes.
Very current.
You also post great flashbacks from your past as well. And recently you posted one and you're wearing a Runaways shirt. And I think you're like maybe 13 or 14 then. Mm-hmm. When did your sense of musical taste begin to develop like that? And were you always attracted to bands with strong women?
It started when I was around 12. Actually, regarding that, I saw the Runaways movie when I was 12. And that was the first like R-rated movie I ever saw. And I saw it because I was obsessed with Twilight. And so, and of course, Kristen Stewart played Joan Jett. But as soon as like the movie progressed, like I started falling in love with like the fashion and the music and everything. So after that, I listened to the soundtrack on repeat for like an entire week. And then about a week later, I went to one of my bookstores, went to the music section and bought a Best of the Runaway CD. So that's kind of like how it started. And then I got into my favorite band, Paramore, as well, after listening to the Twilight soundtrack. And so like that was kind of a moment of realization where I was just like, oh my God, there are female bands out there. Cause I only ever heard of like the male leading bands up until that point. So it made me happy to see that, because that was just something like I wanted to see, but I didn't know it was actually a thing until I was 12.
It's interesting too how some people might kind of knock things that teenage girls are into, but that they're gateways into so many other different worlds. And that is really the time that we're exploring and finding out new things. And I love that through like a Kristen Stewart love, because of course who doesn't love her?
Yeah,
you get to discover like this whole new type of music, and that women can be in the band and kicking butt just as good as the men, better even, right?
Yes.
Well, not only are you a huge music fan, we want to congratulate you on your budding writing career. Things
Thank
seem to be
you.
Going amazing for you. So we want to know, what made you want to become a rock writer?
When I was 17, I was a junior in high school. So I went to a school where I didn't get any homework. So so after that, I got bored one day and I decided to pull up Netflix on my phone, since we just got Netflix recently at the time. And so I found out about Almost Famous through Tumblr, and I had it saved in my watch later thing. And so I decided maybe I should start watching this now. And so I did. And even though I had wanted to be a writer since I was 12, I didn't know what kind of writer I wanted to be. And at the time, I didn't realize I could actually combine my two biggest passions into one. And once I watched Almost Famous, that's where I was like, I want to be a rock music journalist. That is exactly what I want to do.
So you identified with the William Miller character as opposed to the Penny Lane character.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. If you had to go back and live in another decade or era, what would you choose?
I think between the 70s and the 80s, those two decades are where I really love rock and roll. One minute I'll be listening to Led Zeppelin, and the next I'll be listening to bands like Guns N' Roses and Motley Crue and all that. And I just always felt like I could like relate more towards the 70s and the 80s.
I definitely am the same. I go through phases though where I'll discover a new type of music or an era that, you know, I haven't really dipped into yet. And then I'll be like all about that. And then, you know, a year or two later, I'm like all about like the 60s and then all about the 80s and then this. And yeah, there's just so much history there to dive into and discover. And I love that. If you were writing back then and you got to be William Miller and tour with a couple bands, are there any like top list bands that you would for sure be like, I gotta go on tour with them?
I would definitely have to choose Led Zeppelin for one. And I don't know, I just feel like that would be, I feel like that would be a lot of fun to turn up to just go on tour with them and potentially interview them. And, oh, this is kind of, my next choices are kind of hard. But if I was a rock writer in the 80s, of course, I'd probably have to choose like Motley Crue or Guns N' Roses.
You definitely get some stories there.
That's yeah.
For sure. Whether they're publishable or not, I don't know.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Speaking of going on tour with Led Zeppelin, I saw that you posted about reading I'm With the Band, Pamela DeBar's signature groupie book, for the very first time. Have you finished it? How are you enjoying it? Have you gotten to the part where she's touring with Led Zeppelin yet?
I have not. I actually have not finished it yet. I haven't really had time to sit and finish it yet because of everything that's going on. But I'm hoping to do that soon. Because basically, when I'm not like working or going to school, I'm training a puppy in a hotel room and also moving stuff to storage.
Oh my God, I can't imagine training a puppy in a hotel room. I'm also training a puppy, so oh my God.
That's why I was very understanding why we had to reschedule last week.
Oh yeah, it was like, look, I got a puppy. It's a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. I am exhausted. You were like, yeah, no problem.
Yeah, I was just like, okay, I know exactly how that is.
Wow. How's the puppy training going?
It's going good.
Yeah, it's good. Good dog.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of pup?
Schnauzer, miniature schnauzer. His name is Jagger.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. So good.
Nothing miniature about my guy, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I can tell from the pictures.
So being so busy with your writing and working and school, can you tell us a little bit about the places that you write for, including Banded and Soft Sound Press?
Yes, Banded, of course, is run by my boss and my amazing friend as well, Rebecca. Back in June, it was late June, I actually just got another gig at another publication called Unhinged, but who is no longer running, unfortunately. So on that same day, I saw Rebecca was looking for contributors, and I was just thinking at first, oh God, I probably shouldn't because I just got this gig, but then I just couldn't, it just wouldn't leave my mind. So like a few minutes later, I was like, hey, can I apply? Is that okay? She was like, oh yeah, go ahead. And so I did. And of course I got it. And I must say, I feel like that Banded has changed my life, really, honestly. I just feel grateful to be surrounded by an amazing boss, amazing people on the team who are also my friends and everything, and just have people that I can work well with and communicate, you know?
It's good to have that kind of community around you. And like you said, being surrounded by other people who have the same passions and drive that you do is very encouraging. And I feel like that's what works with me and Shanti too, where like, I wouldn't be able to do this without her, because just the encouragement and getting to talk to her and be excited with her about things, it makes such a difference. It keeps you going for sure.
Yeah.
So what are some of your favorite articles that you've written so far?
I think for Banden, one of my favorite articles I've written was my most recent one, which is about Dirty Honey's new song. And that actually just got their attention the other day, which made me feel very excited. And I think another piece that I loved doing was my Almost Famous piece, actually, because I decided to write a little personal story.
I loved that one.
About how it inspired me to want to become a writer on its 20th anniversary. So being able to put my story out there like that, I don't know, it made me feel good because I just started thinking maybe this could also inspire someone to want to be a music writer of any kind.
Absolutely.
And for Soft Sound Press, I actually just, my most recent article for them was almost a month ago. I think a month ago, actually. It was about the Pretty Reckless new album. And they actually got an early advanced stream of the album sent to us. So once my boss, Paige, said something about it, I was just like, I got to take this. Because me being a huge fan of Pretty Reckless since I was 13, I was just like, I got to take this. I got to write this. I want to listen to it a little bit early. So I did. And I, of course, wrote the review, had it published. And Taylor Momsen herself actually retweeted the article.
Wow, that's so thrilling.
Cool. I know.
Thrilling.
Very.
When that happens for the first time, it's like, yes, yes. It feels powerful too. And it's so exciting. Congrats on that.
Thank you.
So you said that it's been nice for you to perhaps inspire other people to become writers. And I saw that there actually was a young woman that had, or even like a girl that had reached out to you saying that she like admires you and you're so young yourself and you've been doing so much, which is amazing. What words of wisdom do you have for young girls wanting to join into the music industry or anybody who wants to become writers or a part of the scene?
Well, that's a good question. For me, it was just more about keeping an eye out for who was looking for writers and everything. And I guess my best advice would be to just keep trying. I know that sounds very basic and everything, but I feel like that's all you can really do. And also just find someone who could potentially help you gonna get to where you want to be in the music business. Because right before I became a music journalist, I was a pop culture writer for a website called The Things, which I wrote for them for about 5 months, and then they got rid of the writing team that I was a part of. And after that, I was like, oh shit, what am I gonna do? And so I actually like posted my Instagram story right after that, asking like music industry friends, can you guys please help me get like a music writing job, music journalist job or anything? And before I even applied to Banden, Rebecca helped me a little bit.
So it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to reach out.
Yeah.
Find your community, find your people. And that's what I love about like all of this too, where social media is so great for that, where you do find your people. They're out there. And even with like us in the podcast, like we all came together on these apps, and I love that we all support each other and help each other any way we can. And it's also great, like so many women supporting other women.
Yes.
Where do you see this career taking you? Like, what is your highest vision of yourself, you know, beyond this role?
I think I can imagine myself working at a high-end music writing gig. I don't know if like Rolling Stone or Billboard or anything like that, but I do have dreams of potentially moving to Nashville to get more opportunities as a music journalist.
That's a good place to go for that, for sure. There's so much there.
I'd love to go back.
And I want to go to Texas, like South by.
Oh my God. That's one of my dreams. Even though I've been living in Texas my whole life, I've never been to South by Southwest. And I tried going there my spring break 5 years ago, and it just did not work out the way I wanted it to.
Hopefully we all get to go in the future and we can meet up and check out a whole bunch of bands and everything. Do you have a bucket list of bands that you want to see
or interview, right?
And interview as well. Mm-hmm. I have a huge list, honestly. And I've not interviewed anyone since October. So I'm currently looking for people to interview. And because I feel kind of desperate at this point.
I think we're feeling it too. I mean, it's just usually we go to music festival things in Toronto, and that's where we sort of get in our band time. And we didn't get to do that last year. And of course, this year it's not happening either. So,
yeah. But this year for us, it's just been like connecting to community. So it's just been in like a lot of women and a lot of people, like a lot of podcasters, a lot of other women doing podcasts about music. So everything's meant to kind of roll for us for that, for a good reason. So we've been happy to do that. I am eager to talk to some bands soon, though. All right, we are going to take a break, and when we come back, Bailey is going to present a modern muse.
Are you ready to shop? Rakuten's Big Give Week is back. Get 15% back at hundreds of stores, and it's all happening this week, May 6th to May 13th. It's the perfect time to shop for everything on your list for spring and summer, like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel. I know I'm using this week to stock up on some warmer weather essentials at Ray-Ban and Ulta, and I love that Rakuten even helps me save on travel at sites like hotels.com. Rakuten really is the best way to shop, and you can save even more by stacking cash back on top of deals. Plus, during Big Give Week, that cash back is bigger than ever. With Rakuten, membership is free, and when you sign up and shop today, you get an extra 10% cash back boost. That's an extra 10% cash back on top of the 15% cash back. You won't see higher cash back rates than these. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app. R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Shoppers get it. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
And we're back with Bailey, and you're going to tell us about a modern muse. So we said, you know what, come on and educate us a little bit. Tell us, who is your favorite modern muse? Why are they your muse? And what's their story?
My favorite modern muse is Taylor Momsen from The Pretty Reckless. That shouldn't be a surprise to anyone who knows
me. It's not.
I've been following her since before she was even in The Pretty Reckless, because she was on Gossip Girl and all that, and I've loved Gossip Girl back in middle school. And I remember hearing that she was going to be starting a music career, and at first I thought it was going to be one of those like attempts at, you know, doing pop music or something like that. But then I listened to their debut single Make Me Want to Die, and I was just like, oh my god. Like, it just reminded me of 90s rock in a sense. And then when their debut album came out, I binge listened to that and their other albums that have come out since then. And I guess the reason why she's my favorite is because, like, she was one of the first people that gave me hope in modern rock. Because when I first started, like, really getting into rock, I'm one of those people who thought that rock was dead and wasn't really all that aware of the newer stuff that was coming out, or all these amazing bands that are coming out. And so she was one of the first people that really just gave me hope. And not only just that, I also really love her style. And looking back on it now, even though I was like 13, it probably wasn't something I should have been admiring, but I still thought she just looked so cool. I thought she looked badass.
Was it a lot of black, right? She wore a lot of black.
Yeah. Also some cord, not corsets and everything.
It's like a modern goth Sheree Curry.
Yeah. That's what I was about to say.
Yeah. I like her style too.
The first time I was aware of Taylor Momsen was when I saw her as a child actor in The Grinch, the one with Jim Carrey.
Oh, yeah, Cindy Lou Who.
Yeah, so she's been in the business young. Do you know much about her upbringing? Like, did she come from famous parents? Like, what's that about? I'm always curious about child stars.
I don't know too much about that, but apparently her parents had her start working when she was around two. I think that's what I heard. And other than just starting out in The Grinch and also then moving on to Gossip Girl in later years, there's not really that much I know about her upbringing and everything, but she's just someone that I've always looked up to in the music business. And of course, like I said before, she recently retweeted my article about her band's new album, which really made me feel so excited. And I swear my 13-year-old self probably would be screaming her head off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I felt that way for the first time when I started talking to Pamela. And I was like, oh, my God, if I had told teenage self that I'd be hanging out with all these women that I'm, you know, reading about and admiring their life. It is wild what can happen in life. I really admire Taylor as well for she had this amazing acting career kind of set up for her since she had been doing it for so long. And she really, I guess, sidelined that and took the big risk, which really paid off for her. I guess music was like her real passion, but that must have been hard to give up, to step into this other role and give that a shot.
Yeah, I agree. And then she's had these collaborations recently with a couple members of Senna Soundgarden and Tom Morello, which nice. Which I will say I thought were one of the main highlights of her new album.
She's obviously heavily influenced by the 90s, huh?
Yes. And she actually, this is another thing I found out when I got the press release for this album, I found out that they were opening for Soundgarden's last show to get it right before Chris died.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's heavy.
Does Taylor have any like interest in going back to acting? Has she been in anything lately? Is she going to do like indie stuff, or is it just primarily music from now on? Or has she said?
I think it's just primarily music. I think the last thing she was in was the very last episode of Gossip Girl, and that was back in 2012.
Yeah, she's like full-blown music career then. How many albums is there now?
I think now there is four.
But from what I'm seeing, like, you know, the Grammys were like just happened. She doesn't seem to be on that, or correct me if I'm wrong, but she doesn't really seem to be on like that kind of radar. Is she off kind of in her own little world, like doing her own thing, or is she being recognized by any larger institution?
I'd say she's off in her own little world. But hey, if Death by Rock and Roll gets a Grammy nomination next year, I'm here for it.
She definitely deserves it. I love her voice. She really has like a powerful... I'm jealous of anyone with a voice.
Me too. That's why I'm a music journalist, because I can't sing.
Yeah, that's why I'm a groupie.
So. Good point. Is there anything else that you want to say about Taylor and her band?
I think I touched on everything about her and her band.
Are there any other bands that you want to mention?
One band I really want to recommend. I'm friends with these guys, and y'all have seen me post about them, I'm sure. They're called The Living Street. I've been friends with these guys for over a year now. I first met them at a bar in Florida. I didn't even know who they were. I didn't know their music. I was just across the street trying to work, and then I kept hearing the music, and I was just like, I can't ignore the music any longer. And so I just got up and threw a sweatshirt and some jeans on and just went across the street. And little did I know that would actually kind of change everything for me in a sense as well, because a few months later, they were the first band I ever interviewed. And And I managed to get them to have him be a part of Banded Stole Christmas lineup a few months ago as well.
That's cool.
And it's amazing that even though I've only met them in person once, we still managed to form this friendship online during this craziness. And I'm actually going to be seeing them in person for the second time in a couple of weeks.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are having shows down there, or is it just like a meetup?
Oh, this is going to be in Florida, so I'm going to go on the road for this. They're from Pittsburgh, so they'll be coming to Florida and performing in a few Florida cities, I think. So I decided they're going to be back at that bar. I'm just going to pack my bags and go on this road trip.
Is this going to be your first show since COVID happened?
Yeah.
I'd be so excited. I cannot wait for that happening here, but I think it's going to be a little while longer for us. So
yeah,
I'm going to live it through you. You're going to post it. I'm going to like pretend I'm there and enjoy that because it's nice to know it's coming back though.
Oh yeah. And I think some other bands that I want to recommend as well. I recommend this band called Sweet Talker. I also wrote about them recently. I also recommend this artist named Jeanette JJ Wild. She is a badass. I've talked about her a couple times in posts, and I actually once listened to her for 24 hours straight on Spotify, which my boss saw me do, and she called me out for it in the podcast that we did together.
When you are going to interview a band, what do you do to prepare for that?
I do research on them, and I'll play their music on Spotify. And then I'll just sit and try to think of what questions I want to ask. Because I'm still fairly new at interviewing. I've only done 4 interviews, I think. So I just try to not do the basics, even though since I am new, it's kind of hard to not throw those in. So I'll throw a couple of those in and just sit and try to think.
That's the best part, is just getting immersed into a band. And it makes it more exciting when you talk to them, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Reading lots of books.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a wild time. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us and our listeners?
Well, I'm actually probably getting another writing related gig this week. I have a little Zoom interview. The person who writes for this website called She Sources, which is a website about women in the entertainment industry, and she said that she wants to bring me on as a music writer. So.
Oh, nice. Fantastic. So many doors. When it rains, it pours, huh? Everything's just coming your way.
I can say that I feel grateful knowing that I am where I am now, because this is something I didn't actually think would happen. After graduating high school 5 years ago, I went through a series of different trauma, basically, starting that summer. Because my stepbrother had a brain aneurysm, for one thing, and we thought that he was going to pass away, but he didn't. And then my aunt died from cancer on that same week. And
wow.
6 months later, my cousin-in-law also died from cancer. And it just felt like one thing after another. And I went through this time where I was just depressed and everything. And because I never experienced anything like that before. And then all of a sudden, I was fresh out of high school and all this just started happening. And so for a few years, I just wasn't really doing anything because of that. And I wanted to do something, but I just felt like I couldn't, you know? So it took me a long time just to finally just put myself into a position where I just was like, I'm gonna try and become the writer that I want to be. And thanks to me finding an application for the things in my ZipRecruiter email, it led me to this.
I think a lot of people don't realize like the power that we all have in ourselves. I'm the same way. I've had highs and lows in my life, and where I thought, how am I ever going to get out of this? Or like, how can I move forward in my life? I want so many things, but like, I don't know how to get them or do them. And it's just, you know, step by step, just believe in yourself, try things. Like we say on here all the time, like a no is free. Just keep putting yourself out there, and eventually it's going to turn around and you're going to see the difference. And the more that happens, of course, the more you believe in yourself and the more things pick up. And I'm so glad everything's turning around. And
we believe in you, and we can't wait to see where this journey takes you, and we're rooting for you. And thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me. I really had a lot of fun talking to you guys.
Where online can everybody find you?
Okay, so my Instagram is hippiesake and my Twitter is thehippiesake. And if you want to find my writings, I'm on Bandit PR and Soft Sound Press.
Fantastic. Well, maybe you can send us one or two pieces of writing that you're really proud of, and we'll just link those right up into the show notes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, no problem.
Thanks, Bailey.
Thank you.
Muses is researched, edited, and produced by us, Chantel Lemieux and Lynx O'Leary.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.